Dorothy from Derby. Hello and welcome to the show today. Hi.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. I'm going to change the tempo a little bit. I am calling to wish you good luck in your upcoming election and campaign.
Thank you.
And
thank
I
you
listen
very
to
much.
You every day.
Thank you.
And I also want to wish you and all your family a blessed Rosh Hashanah and a happy and healthy Yom Kippur.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that, Dorothy. I needed that right now. Thank you very much for calling. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. And you the same. You don't have to be a member of the Jewish faith for me to be wishing you a happy new year and a year to be sealed with the blessings, all the blessings that life has to offer, to be sealed in the book of life. So I do want to wish that to you, Dorothy, and I want to thank you for calling me today. Anne from Shelton. Hi, Anne. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, and again, happy holidays to you
thank
and your
you.
Family.
Thank you.
I just wanted to just make a few comments. I've gone on the judicial website, the civil side, and looked at the numerous motions for default and the numerous times that they reopened and allowed Mr. Jones and his attorneys to, present information that was requested by the plaintiffs. So it wasn't just one event where the judge said, okay, we're just going to default you and now go to the penalty phase. And I just caution everyone, do a little bit of research and looking into things before we fly off the handle. And the second thing I want to say is, the gentleman that just called in, it's very, very sad that our society today somehow cannot recognize and acknowledge the pain of parents having sent their elementary age child to school and was massacred.
And I
think we need to go back to that. And I'm sorry.
And you're right.
Is a painful
I just, I couldn't even begin to understand where this gentleman was going with his conversation. I mean, he was almost as if he was trying to say that poor Mr. Heslin was fighting this fight because he felt that he had sent his kid to the wrong school that morning and had some kind of personal guilt or was doing something wrong. I mean, it was such an awful, awful, awful line of thinking in my view, Anne. Just terrible. I mean,
can we just get back to the reality and the fact of what occurred before
absolutely.
How can you blame a parent?
I can't.
Stop
I can't.
It.
Stop
we
it.
We need to listen, this goes all into Mr. Jones's continual, like he just says something and as if it's fact, and nobody calls and says, wait a minute, that doesn't sound to be right. And we need to, as a society, stop just listening to the 10-second soundbite and accepting that as a reality of fact. And I just would like to encourage your listeners to take 10 more seconds and find out if there's any validity to what's going on. And I would just hope that that would be something that people would start to do a little bit more.
I appreciate that, Anne, and I'm actually going to tell people how they can do it because it's so easy. Thank you for the call. So what Anne is talking about is the fact that, and by the way, this is a relatively new development in our world. In other words, it is a post-internet development. It is not a pre-internet development, where it used to be much harder. You just have to go to the courthouse and look things up yourself. But nowadays, you just do, it's called case lookup. You can literally just say case lookup CT in your browser bar, whether it be Google or Firefox, Safari, whatever you use. And it will come right up with the website, which is jud.ct.gov, judicialconnecticut.gov. And you put Jones Alex in a party name. Or you put, Neil Heslin or Scarlett Lewis, whoever you are thinking about as a party name. And it comes up. And what you can see, and Anne is 100% right, particularly on the truth of the default judgment is, I've said this on the show before, judges don't like default judgments. They don't like them. The reason they don't like them is because they know that inherently a person has not been able to speak on their own behalf. So it doesn't feel good. It doesn't sit well. And the reason, and so because they don't like them, they usually give parties a ton of postponements and opportunities and what we call continuances, which is a fancy word for postponement, and different delays and excuses and extensions before they will actually put the gavel down on a default. And so if you go into Civ Lookup and you look at this case against Alex Jones, Anne from Shelton's 100% right. Judge Barbara Bellis didn't do this because she said one day, oh, this is how I want to proceed. Mr. Jones doesn't show up for one day, and that's it. It's over. It doesn't look like that. Go look at the file. Go look at the file. Go look at the extensions that were requested. Go look at the deadlines. Go look at the way, and you'll see how exhaustive and exhausting it is to be in a civil litigation. It is exhaustive and it's exhausting. And clever attorneys, the reason they're clever is because they know some of the fault lines in the system. They know where they can get postponements, continuances, delays, and extensions. They know. That's their job to know. And sometimes delay is the best defense you have. Sometimes if you, what do they say? Justice delayed is justice denied, right? That's why in our criminal part, we actually have one of our Bill of Rights amendments is a right to a speedy trial, not to a trial, to a speedy trial. Why? Why? Because unless you have a speedy trial, you don't necessarily have a fair trial. People forget stuff. Things are further back in time. Evidence gets lost. Evidence gets misplaced. The right to a speedy trial. From the defendant's point of view, the right to know whether or not they're going to be found guilty or innocent so the defendant can go on with their life. From the victim's point of view, the right to a speedy trial so that the victim can testify and move this incident behind him or herself. In all ways, a speedy trial is a fairer trial than a non-speedy trial. But, there may be some reasons, very good reasons, why a particular defendant in a civil or criminal case may not want such a speedy trial. They may not want it. Delay may suit them. It may benefit them. And so when it comes to a default judgment, you should know, Anne is 100% right. Judges abhor default judgments. They don't like them. They don't like them because they don't sit well with us as human beings, with any of us. But, you know, it's what happened in the Alex Jones case. He got defaulted. He didn't show up enough times. The judge got frustrated enough and said, okay, you've made your decision not to come. So now you have to pay the consequences of not coming. Guilty. Guilty. Defamation. And now we'll move to part two, damages. And the damages trial is what's happening right now. And in that damages trial, Alex Jones is trying to plead his innocence to the underlying charge. And the judge is saying, sorry, that ship has sailed. You had your chance. 203-333-9422. Whether the judge will be upheld on this issue, whether it will be appealed, I don't know. We'll have to see. But that's what's happening right now. And withering cross-examination, I understand, by Chris Mattei yesterday, trying to do his best to rattle Alex Jones, who has said that he already apologized and he's, quote, not apologizing anymore. He's not saying he's sorry anymore. He already said he's sorry. Said it. That's enough. He doesn't have to say it anymore. 203-333-9422. Doesn't want to say he's sorry anymore. Said it. It's enough. They're also trying to show in the case, incidentally, if you're paying attention, they're throwing a lot of statistics in front of the jury about how many more hits, how much more money, how many more products were sold when he spoke about Sandy Hook and his casting doubts on the truthfulness of what happened there versus other conversations he had. And they're arguing, they're trying to persuade the jury that Alex Jones knowingly and intentionally spoke about this incident with the idea of selling products to an audience that would be enlarged as a result of him having this conversation about this incident. That talking about this garnered so much attention to his InfoWars website that he knowingly kept perpetrating these falsehoods and these defamatory statements because in the end it benefited his bottom line. That's the argument that's being made in court. And today, Norm Pattiz has an opportunity to defend his client by examining his own client to try and get his side of the story out in front of the jury. I'm Lisa Wexler, 203-333-9422. We'll go to Wayne, and then we're coming up with the kindness of strangers. Hi, Wayne. Is this Wayne from our Wayne from Trumbull, Wayne Winston? Hi, Wayne. Welcome back to the show. Hi.
Hi. How are you, Lisa?
I'm good.
I have been watching some of this trial myself, and it is just so hurtful to watch this man who I've seen myself on InfoWars, the things that he said about Sandy Hook, and they're just bringing all of these memories back. And he's basically saying that this is not him. It's made up by the Democrats, by the left, you know, by, you know, the witch's cauldron, anything other than him. And there's him on the tape saying these things. Mm-hmm. And there's people in this business of news that spread misinformation for ratings, whether he believed it or not. Personally, I think he believed it, but he hurt a lot of families, and I don't even know how you have a conscience or less of a conscience to say something about that, about Sandy Hook, with young children being killed by some kid who obviously had his own mental challenges. I don't understand it, but I know that's where he's standing right now. And I think it's appalling as a human being that I know you have to come up with some defense, but he's not showing any iota at all of regret of that, what he did, the damage that he caused. And there's no question that there were people who followed him and repeated it because they heard it on his show. Mm. And we have people out there right now, I'll finish with this, that there's people right now spreading misinformation on purpose. You know, I mean, whether it's Stop the Steal, and you got people saying, no, it's not stolen. When you want to believe in somebody, even though they could be the worst person, the worst type of thing, you're going to believe it. That's why it takes people like yourself and you, the audience, to use your discernment and figure out what you want to do when you hear these crazy things, and not mistrust the basic real sources that we depended upon for so long, whether it's ABC, NBC, CBS, just to get the right information. And I hope somewhere his conscience gets to him and he does apologize again, because he needs to, at the very least.
Yeah. Thank you, Wayne. Thanks for the call. We'll see you back on Wednesdays in a few weeks, right after Election Day.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. And you know, God, what you guys have to do, go out and vote on Election Day. Every single one of you that are listening.
Absolutely. Everybody's got to vote. Thanks, Wayne. We're going to be right back with the kindness of strangers as we go out to a beautiful fall weekend, an apple picking weekend, if there ever was one. A weekend that on Sunday evening begins our history, our high holiday history of kindness and prayer and solemn repentance and a review over the last year's things that we did wrong. Mostly things we did wrong. We sort of take for granted the things we did right. We focus a little bit on things we did wrong, but we begin with, naturally, what else? Big meals, lots and lots of meals. My daughter Joanna is, as we speak, beginning the baking of the challah, and she's an unbelievable baker. She just decided to become an extraordinary baker, and she bakes all of these challah breads from scratch, and she puts like the everything bagel seasonings on top of them. I'm telling you, all you need to do is eat the bread. You're done. That's all you need to do. And so we'll be having over 20 people on Monday at her house. And then on Tuesday, we'll go to my cousin David on Long Island. We'll be in Dix Hills on Tuesday. And then the following week, we will fast for one day and make like it's the end of the world, to empty our bellies for 24 hours. And we will pray that the gates of forgiveness and of heaven are open in front of us, that we can walk into as they shut behind us for a year of goodness and health and happiness and prosperity. Larry from Norwalk, thanks for holding. Hi, Larry. Welcome.
Welcome, Lisa. Glad to be on your show. I want to share a story happened many years ago in Norwalk. A woman was stranded on the street, and it was getting dark, and her car wasn't working. And I helped her get off the main 8th Avenue. And
Larry, you there?
Yeah.
Okay. Hold on. Sorry. You helped her get off the main road? Is that what you said?
Yeah, helped her get off the East Avenue and onto a side street, and where eventually we got her to get her car going again and get her home.
Oh, that must have made you feel very good. Larry? I think I'm losing Larry as a connection. 203. Hello. Hello. Oh, yeah. Larry, you're going in and out quite a bit. I don't know where you are.
Oh, hold on a second. Let me see if I get in a better area. Hold on.
Yeah, because you're on the radio here.
Live. Is this better?
I don't know. We'll find out. We'll find out. We'll find out. Larry,
yeah,
there?
I helped the lady off the road. Can you hear this?
Yes, I can. Yes. Yes.
And what happened is
I can't hear what happened, Larry. I'm sorry. We're going to have to let you go. I'm sorry. 203-333-9422. We want you to call in, but when you call in, we really need you to have a secure connection. I think I know who this next caller is. Is it Jill? Is this my sister, Jilly? Jill Zarin?
This is your sister.
Hi, sweetie pie.
Calling in for the last time until after the election on, when is the election? When is
November 8th.
4th?
No, November 8th.
Is it always November 8th?
Is
it always a Tuesday?
It's always a Tuesday after the first or the second month. If it's a Tuesday after the Monday in November. And this year it's the latest day.
It's the first Tuesday of the month.
And this,
okay, so it's the 8th.
Right.
So really I'm calling everyone to remind to, of course, vote for my sister in the election. What can I say, Lisa? You're my sister.
Of course.
I'm so sad that you're having to, you know, get off the air, but I totally understand why, you know, but to be fair, you've been an incredible judge for the last 4 years, and I don't even understand what's going on, but that's just another story. But
don't worry about it.
I will be out there hustling with you, going door to door, so you never know, you might see me in Westport, Connecticut very soon.
You might.
Talking to people about all the things with probate and the things that go on and how, you know. Changes of life, being a probate judge, right? Isn't that what it is? It's all the changes of life, marriage, divorce, death, all the other stuff.
I always
stuff.
Say it's family court without divorce, right? So it's everything but divorce having to do with families ends up in probate court.
True. But a lot of it's fighting with siblings over people who die. Isn't
yes.
that a lot?
Yes. Yes, that's
and
what I mean by family court.
Conservatorship.
Yeah.
I mean, every time I speak to you, you're going in or out of a hospital.
This is true.
Seriously.
This is true. Yesterday I did. The day before I did. The day before I, yeah, I go to hospital. I go to them for, to change. Probate courts are the courts that if there is a do not resuscitate order that somebody wants to put in place instead of full code status, where a person is really at the end of their life and doing a full chest compression CPR would be considered cruel or gruesome. Somebody can try and petition to have it changed to DNR status if they're conserved. And so that would come to a probate judge. I've done three of those in the last 2 weeks. I don't know
if
why.
If someone doesn't have so-called next of kin, Lisa, if someone doesn't have next of kin, does a hospital sometimes ask for that?
Yes.
Oh, dirty.
Yes, they do.
Really? They do? Mm-hmm. So a doctor or a nurse or somebody could petition and say this person really shouldn't suffer?
Yes. Yes.
The indignity of life-saving things.
Yes. And so what would happen is if there is no next of kin, there's usually somebody, a conservator typically, who has some kind of legal authority with respect to the person. But if there has been no conservator appointed and there's no next of kin, a hospital can petition a probate court to have a full hearing to discuss the patient. And I've had hospitals petition to probate courts before. Yes.
That must be very difficult, Lisa. It takes a special person, really, to do that kind of law.
I do those hearings at the hospital. I do those hearings at the hospital because I feel like I need to get my own look at the human being who is the subject of this petition. That's not in all cases. Some judges don't feel they need to go to the hospital, but I do.
Really?
So I always show up.
Some judges don't go. Some counties, the probate judge doesn't go to see the patient.
No, if they're very busy and they have a very full docket, they will take this kind of thing based on testimony, maybe photos,
really?
Pictures. They'll do what they need to do to render a decision that they think is fair. But I always feel like I need to go see the person. So I do. I go see the person.
Well, I always say you're the fairest one in the family. And in this case, you're the family of Westport, Connecticut. The family of Westport, Connecticut. Anyway, so but meanwhile, I'm able to call in today because I won my match.
Did you? Today. Congratulations.
I'm very excited. My first match of the season in competitive tennis, and we won 6-2, 6-2.
And if
my boyfriend Gary hadn't walked by the back of the court talking to Aunt Cookie on the phone very loudly, I might add, I might have won 6-0. And I'm screaming at him, get off the court.
Oh.
And he wouldn't move. Yeah. Very rude. Anyway, I'm in Florida with mom and dad. It's the Jewish New Year on Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday.
Right.
And you're going to be in New York with Joanna and the family.
I'll miss you,
Bobo. I'll miss you. Gary and my daughter Allie will be with you. And
yes.
I will be with our mother and father.
Right. And father.
And Sharon. I invited Sharon and Larry.
Good. Excellent.
I invited the family. Yeah.
And Gloria's not coming, right? And Gloria's not feeling up to it?
I don't think she's feeling well. Yeah. No, 97 years old, and she just had COVID.
I know.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
But I'm going to try. I'm hoping in 3 days she feels better, because you know she wants to come.
I know.
Anyway, good luck with everything, Lisa.
Thank you,
I'm
sweetheart.
Rooting for you.
I'll see you soon, I hope.
You're on the air.
I haven't seen you since July. Do you know I haven't seen you since July, since your house? I can't believe where the time is going. I need to see you.
Feels like yesterday. But hopefully we'll be calling you the Honorable Judge Lisa Wexler on November 8th and 9th.
Thank you,
and
Google.
Further on for four more years.
All four more years.
That's what I want to scream. Four more years.
Love you.
All right,
thank you,
sister.
Julie. Okay.
Goodbye. Mwah.
Listen, you know the actress Bryce Dallas Howard? She grew up in Greenwich. She's the daughter of Ron Howard, who was Opie on the Andy Griffith Show. And then he was, what was he? I always think of him as Ron Howard. But what was his character's name on Happy Days? Forgot already. But anyway, you can see him with Potsy and Fonzie. Anyway, great actor. And then he became a very, very amazing director. He directed Cocoon. Didn't he do The Right Stuff? He did a lot of wonderful, wonderful movies. Anyway, so what I wanted to say is that Bryce Dallas Howard became a pretty famous actress herself, particularly for Jurassic World. And she came out with a statement about how difficult it is to be a woman in film that I really wanted you to hear. I'm going to put it on in just a moment. First, we're going to hear, is it Terry from Stratford? Hi, Terry. Welcome. Hi, Terry.
First of all, happy Yom Kippur to you and your family.
Thank you, Terry.
I wish I lived in Westport or Wilton. I could vote for you because I would.
Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you.
And I'm going to miss you, believe me.
Well... I want you to keep listening to the station, be a participant the way you always are as a listener and a caller. Keep the phone lines ringing, and I'll be back before you know it. Really, I will. Before you know it. You know how life goes.
I'll be counting the days. How's that?
Thanks, Terry. You're a sweetheart.
You're welcome. Thank
you.
Good luck.
All right. Happy New Year to you. Thank you. Let's go to Ken. Ken from Norwalk. Hi, Ken. Welcome. Oh, Bridgeport. Pardon me. Ken from Bridgeport. Hi.
Yeah, how's it going, Lisa? I just want to say good luck. I saw some of your signs on Canal Street yesterday.
On Canal? Oh, Canal Street in Westport?
Yeah, Canal Street and Wilton Road.
On Wilton Road. Okay. All right. Wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Just say, good luck, and I'm going to miss you, and then, have a good holiday and everything.
You too. Happy New Year to you, Ken. Thank you so much. Just
right.
Remember, I'm not going anywhere. Stick around. Be a loyal WICC listener. We want to keep the station, light, bright, and strong for a long time. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
That's
I'll still
the main
listen,
thing.
Don't worry.
Thanks. Ralph. Hi, Ralph. Hey, Ralph, my buddy from Bridgeport. Hi, Ralph.
Do you know that you just made my mood go up about 50 points when you called me your buddy from
Bridgeport?
Oh,
yeah. You're my buddy from Bridgeport, Ralph. Come on. You are.
And we are your radio family. We need more people like you in the world that have a voice, because there's so many people out there with a platform that are spreading misinformation. But just to stay positive, you give us so much, and we're always better after listening to you. And you truly, what comes through about you is you have such a sincere love for your brothers and sisters under God. You do.
Oh.
And I really wanted to wish you a happy new year in Hebrew. So I looked it up, how to wish a Jewish friend a happy new year.
All right, let's
hear. You can say Lashana Tova for a good year.
Yes.
But I want to say Shana Tova Umetika. This says, have a good and sweet year. And it explains for your listeners, Shana Tova Umetika means, is it Umetika or Umetika?
It's Shana Tova Umetika. The emphasis is on the last syllable. Matok means sweet in Hebrew. So to say someone, to wish them a Shana Tova Umetika, means a good year and a sweet year.
Well,
U means and. Umetika,
well,
and sweet.
I know other people want to wish you well. Shana Tova Umetika means have a good and sweet year. And it says in Hebrew, you'll notice that sweetness is a theme of the holiday. For example, Jews traditionally dip apples in honey on
that's
Rosh
Hashanah to
express the wish of a sweet new year.
That's
correct. We just want to thank you for being a positive light. We need more people like you. I think you should, I know you would be a great president, but if more people would just follow the example of you, this world would be so much better.
Ah, Ralph, you're a sweetheart.
And God bless you and your family and Bill and the kids. And
thank you.
I'm going to go now, so somebody else wants to wish you. You mean so much to us, Lisa. I'm 62. I'm retired. The highlight of my day is listening to you.
Oh, Ralph, you're such a sweetie pie.
We all feel that way, though. It's not just me. All right, God bless you. I'll let somebody else get in. And once again, Shana Tova Umetika.
Thank you so much. 203-333-9422. You know, Ralph brings up, it is a Jewish tradition all over the world to have apples and honey. But that's one of the reasons why I've always loved living in New England, because it's always this time of year with the apple picking and the apple pies. And one of my favorite places to go is the Aspetuck Orchard Place right near the reservoir in Easton. What do they call that? I think they call it Aspetuck Orchards or the barn. Maybe they call it the apple barn. Anyway, it's gorgeous. It's right there. You can't miss it on 58. And they have these, this is, you want to know a fantastic shortcut. Just buy a few of these pies. They all come uncooked and you keep them in your freezer and you put them in, I think it's at 450 for an hour. They give you the instructions on the package. And when they come out as a hot apple pie or fruits of the forest pie or blackberry or peach, whatever it is you want to buy, I guarantee you it's the best pie you've ever eaten. And the apple pie is outstanding. So we always break the fast with a yummy apple pie. But in general, on our tables on Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah are apples and honey. I try and get some local honey as well. We have so many marvelous beekeepers around here. And local honey is very good for our allergies. But that is the tradition, apples and honey for a good year and a sweet year. L'shana tova v'tika tevu, l'shana tova umituka. And that's what it is, atok, to be sweet. And of course, you know, Jews are nothing without our food. So naturally, there has to be something sweet at the table because we have to have an excuse to eat more. And we do very well when it comes to an excuse to eat more, particularly on holidays. When we break the fast, we end up consuming many more calories than we ever would have eaten in that entire 24-hour stretch. But we console ourselves by thinking that we are entitled to eat so much because we were so hungry. Let's go to Lynn from Shelton. Lynn, thank you for holding. Hello, you got a few minutes. Hi.
Hello, Lisa. First of all, I just wanted to say I am going to miss you a great deal, just like Ralph and everyone else said before me. I am retired, and you do make my day every day because you always enlighten me with so many things that are going on in the world today. But you also do it with a lot of kindness, and I wanted to thank you for that, and I will miss you.
Thank you, Lynn. But remember, I'm coming back. I'm not going anywhere for too long.
I know, okay. But in the meantime, I'm going to miss you, especially these cold days.
Thank you.
But I called in because I had to go to the dump a few weeks ago, and my husband and I loaded up the truck, and me and my car the night before, with my neighbor's bags of stuff because he was away for the weekend celebrating his 80th birthday, and his girls were over cleaning the house. And they had 10 bags that needed to go to the dump. And I said, I can help you. So I put them in my car. And the next day on Saturday morning, I went to the dump. And my husband was unable to go with me. And I started lifting them up into the bin. And I did one. And I said, oh, these are heavy. And I turned around. And there was a man right by my side. And he said, ma'am, can I help you?
Aww.
And I said, yes. And he helped me. He said, don't move. He unloaded my car. And I just wanted to give a shout out to a person who was in a Burns construction truck.
Aww.
And he was such a nice man. And we talked for a few minutes. And I just thought I did one act of kindness. And he came in and did
That's
another
it.
One for me.
That's what I was thinking. You started the chain.
Yes.
Good,
and
good
I told
job.
Him, you made my day. I said, thank you so much. If everyone was this kind, it would make life a lot easier.
It would. And, you know, there is something to that, right? There is something to saying that if you do good, you create this good energy in the world and other things that are good come back to you. It is true.
Absolutely.
It is true.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Good luck
thank
with
you
your
for
campaign.
Calling. Thank you, Lynn. Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
Let's go to Valerie from Woodbridge. Hey, Valerie.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Hi.
Oh, I just wanted to wish you good luck. And I consider you to be the other woman in my life every day. My husband listens to you. And when we go to get our coffee, every day it's Lisa said this, Lisa said that, Lisa.
That's
and
hilarious.
He listens to you faithfully. He doesn't even know I'm calling right now because he's probably listening right now. But I just wanted to wish you well on your new on your campaign, and
thank
you will be very much missed.
Oh, thanks, Valerie. Well, listen, tell your husband to keep listening to WICC, but save that space for me because I'll be back right after Election Day, literally the day after Election Day. I'll be right back on the air.
Okay, great. Great.
And I want to thank you. And that really made my day. And tell your husband hello from me. And
okay, his name is Larry.
Larry. Larry. Hi, Larry from Woodbridge. Oh, that's so nice. Valerie, thank
right.
you for calling today. Thank you so
welcome.
Much. Okay.
Okay, bye.
Okay, we've got one more caller that we'll be able to take before we opt out. Diane Cece. Hi, Diane from East Norwalk, Connecticut. Hello.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
I'm not going to survive without you for 6 weeks.
Oh, no.
No. But I want to wish you a happy new year.
You too.
I want to thank you for the good work you do as a judge and wish you well in your campaign. And I don't know what I'm going to do for 6 weeks, honestly. No, I can't. I can't.
You'll be okay.
No, I'm not going to be okay. I don't know what to do.
Listen, I may find myself on YouTube.
Quick.
If I find myself on YouTube, you know, find me there. We'll figure it
okay.
out. We'll figure it out together.
Good luck with everything. Stay well. We'll see you right after the big day.
Thank you so much,
Thank
Diane.
You for all you do, Lisa.
Thanks. Thanks for calling in.
Bye.
Well, thank you to everybody who called in today. You make me feel good. You're letting me go out on a lift, which I really appreciate. And listen, my signs are, if you happen to be coming through Westport or Weston, you'll see my signs. You'll know I'm alive and well. But I want you to give the same kind of love, affection, and respect to our sub, Joe Aguirre, for the next 6 weeks. And keep listening to WICC all day long because this is your local community radio station and all of our hosts are giving it our all every single day to inform you, to entertain you, and to have it back and forth with you as a community conversation.